In a world where we're bombarded with self-help advice, Nathaniel Brandon's Six Pillars of Self-Esteem stands as a landmark work that has influenced millions since its publication. Oprah Winfrey once called it the definitive work on self-esteem, while Tony Robbins credits it as foundational to his approach to personal development. This isn't just another feel-good manual. It's a profound exploration of what makes us psychologically healthy and capable of living fulfilling lives. Brandon, with his Harvard education and decades of clinical experience, doesn't just tell us that self-esteem matters. He meticulously explains why it's the immune system of consciousness and provides a practical roadmap for developing it. As mental health concerns reach epidemic proportions in our society, Brandon's insights feel more relevant than ever, offering a counterpoint to quick-fix solutions and shallow affirmations. Self-esteem isn't just a nice-to-have psychological asset. It's a fundamental human need, as essential as calcium is to our physical bodies. While lacking it won't necessarily kill us immediately, its absence severely impairs our ability to function effectively. At its core, self-esteem consists of two interrelated components: self-efficacy, confidence in our ability to think, learn, choose, and navigate life's challenges, and self-respect, the conviction that we are worthy of happiness, achievement, and love. When our self-esteem is healthy, we tend to be rational, creative, flexible, willing to admit mistakes, and cooperative. We're more ambitious about experiencing life fully, more open in our communications, and more likely to form nourishing relationships. Conversely, low self-esteem correlates with rigidity, defensiveness, fear of the unfamiliar, and hostility toward others. Research consistently shows that high self-esteem is one of the best predictors of personal happiness. Self-esteem creates a continuous feedback loop between our actions and self-perception. When I trust my mind and act accordingly, I make my life work better, which reinforces my trust. When I respect myself and expect respectful treatment, I tend to get it, which strengthens my self-respect further. The higher our self-esteem, the better equipped we are to handle troubles, recover from setbacks, and begin anew, explaining why many successful entrepreneurs have multiple bankruptcies behind them. Contrary to popular misconception, it's impossible to have too much self-esteem, just as one cannot have too much physical health. Traits often mistakenly associated with excessive self-esteem, like boasting, arrogance, or belligerence, actually reflect its lack. People with genuinely high self-esteem aren't driven to prove superiority over others. Their joy comes from being who they are, not from being better than someone else. In today's rapidly changing world, self-esteem has become more crucial than ever. As we've shifted from a manufacturing to an information economy, where mind work dominates, our survival increasingly depends on qualities like innovation, self-management, personal responsibility, and self-direction. Without adequate self-esteem, today's overwhelming choices can be frightening, driving some to seek escape rather than embracing the entrepreneurial spirit of conscious choice that our era demands. Brandon's genius lies in identifying six specific practices that form the foundation of healthy self-esteem. These aren't merely theoretical constructs, but actionable behaviors that, when practiced consistently, generate and maintain authentic self-worth. The first pillar, living consciously, means being mentally present in what we're doing and staying aware of both our inner and outer worlds. It's about seeking relevant knowledge rather than avoiding uncomfortable truths and recognizing that what is, regardless of our wishes or fears. When we practice conscious living, we take joy in our mental function, remain present in the moment, distinguish between facts and interpretations, confront impulses to avoid painful truths, track our progress toward goals, and persevere through difficulties. Consider how addiction demonstrates consciousness avoidance. Whether through alcohol, drugs, or destructive relationships, the addict's implicit intention is to escape awareness of powerlessness and suffering. Before taking self-destructive action, they must first dim awareness, refuse to see what they know, and make themselves functionally stupid. As Brandon notes, self-destruction is an act best performed in the dark. The second pillar, self-acceptance, involves refusing to be in an adversarial relationship with ourselves. It means willingness to experience, without denial or evasion, that we think what we think, feel what we feel, desire what we desire, have done what we have done, and are what we are. This doesn't mean liking everything about ourselves, but rather experiencing without denial that facts are facts. Self-acceptance operates at three levels. First, a fundamental self-affirmation that derives from the basic fact of being alive and conscious. Second, willingness to experience all aspects of ourselves without disowning any part as not me. Third, compassion and being a friend to ourselves even when we've made mistakes. A profound exercise for developing self-acceptance involves standing naked before a full-length mirror, focusing on your face and body while noticing your feelings. Stay with any discomfort, breathe deeply, and repeat, "Whatever my defects or imperfections, I accept myself unreservedly and completely." People who practice this exercise for 2 minutes morning and night discover that accepting aspects of themselves they don't like actually motivates positive change, while denying reality keeps them stuck. The third pillar, self-responsibility, represents a fundamental shift in how we view our relationship with life's challenges and opportunities. It means fully acknowledging that we are the primary source of our choices and actions, from the smallest daily decisions to life-altering choices. This encompasses the consciousness we bring to our work and relationships, our behavior with others, how we prioritize our time, the quality of our communications, our personal happiness, the values we live by, and the ongoing project of building genuine self-esteem. Taking responsibility is profoundly empowering because it places life's steering wheel firmly back in our hands. Rather than being a burden to shoulder, it represents true freedom, the ability to shape our circumstances rather than merely react to them. While we aren't responsible for everything that happens to us, from natural disasters to others' actions, we must develop the wisdom to distinguish between what we can and cannot control. Self-responsible individuals are inherently solution-oriented, consistently asking, "What can I do about this situation?" rather than searching for alibis or assigning blame to external factors. In professional settings, self-responsible people demonstrate an active rather than passive orientation to challenges. When problems arise, they immediately seek solutions, asking, "How can I correct this situation?" or "What steps can I take to prevent this from recurring?" This contrasts sharply with the passive stance of, "Nobody told me what to do," or "That's not in my job description." In personal life, accepting responsibility means abandoning comfortable but limiting excuses, such as perpetually blaming parents for current unhappiness, attributing relationship failures to past partners, or justifying destructive behaviors through external circumstances. The concept of self-responsibility is inextricably linked to having productive purposes. Through meaningful work, we not only support our physical existence, but fulfill our potential as thinking beings. Work, whether paid employment, creative pursuits, or personal projects, allows us to exercise our intelligence toward useful ends, which is fundamental to becoming fully human. While opportunities may indeed be constrained by circumstances, the self-responsible perspective always asks, "What actions remain possible? What specifically needs to be done? How can I incrementally improve my condition?" A pivotal moment in therapeutic work occurs when clients truly internalize that no one is coming to rescue them from their challenges. This profound realization that if they don't take meaningful action, nothing will improve, often marks a decisive turning point in their growth. The comforting fantasy of a rescuer, whether in the form of a person, circumstance, or stroke of luck, may offer temporary emotional relief, but ultimately leaves us passive observers as life's opportunities slip away into the realm of unredeemable possibilities. True empowerment begins with accepting that we are the authors of our own story. The fourth pillar, self-assertiveness, means honoring my wants, needs, and values, and seeking appropriate forms of their expression in reality. It's the willingness to stand up for myself, to be who I am openly, to treat myself with respect in all human encounters. Not belligerence or inappropriate aggressiveness, but refusing to fake my person to be liked. This involves speaking truthfully about our thoughts, feelings, and boundaries while respecting those of others. To practice self-assertiveness logically means committing to my right to exist, understanding my life doesn't belong to others, and I'm not here to live up to someone else's expectations. For many, this is terrifying. It means taking responsibility for their own existence and security rather than depending on authority figures. This fear often stems from childhood experiences where independence was discouraged or punished, creating deeply ingrained patterns of seeking external validation. Self-assertiveness requires the conviction that my ideas and wants matter, something many of us weren't taught. Instead, we heard, "What you want isn't important, what others want is." Standing up for ourselves often takes courage, while self-sacrifice seems easier but lacks the integrity that intelligent selfishness requires. This doesn't mean being selfish or inconsiderate. Rather, it means maintaining healthy boundaries and expressing authentic needs while respecting others' rights to do the same. Some people physically embody non-self-assertiveness, standing as if they have no right to occupy space, speaking inaudibly, signaling they don't feel entitled to exist. When therapy helps such people move and speak with more assurance, their self-esteem rises. Body language often reveals our deepest beliefs about self-worth. Slouched shoulders, avoiding eye contact, or speaking in apologetic tones all communicate a diminished sense of self-worth to others and reinforce it within ourselves. Not all manifestations are so obvious. The average life contains countless unremembered surrenders and misrepresentations of feelings that corrode dignity. A young man who loves a film but pretends indifference to appear cool. A woman who remains silent when hearing an offensive racial slur. A college student too intimidated to express appreciation to an admired writer. All inflict wounds on their sense of self. The world doesn't do this to us, we do it to ourselves. These small acts of self-betrayal accumulate over time, creating a pattern of inauthenticity that becomes increasingly difficult to break. Developing self-assertiveness requires consistent practice in everyday situations. This might mean expressing an unpopular opinion in a meeting, setting boundaries with family members, or simply stating preferences without apologizing. Each time we choose authenticity over conformity, we strengthen our sense of self and build the muscle of self-assertiveness. The goal isn't to become confrontational, but to develop the quiet confidence that comes from knowing we can and will stand up for ourselves when necessary. The fifth pillar, living purposefully, represents a fundamental shift from passive existence to active creation of one's life path. It means consciously using our powers and capabilities to attain selected goals rather than living at the mercy of chance events or others' expectations. Without purpose, we become reactive drifters, bouncing from one situation to another. With purpose, our goals energize our existence and call on the exercise of our highest faculties, creating a compass for daily decisions and actions. Living purposefully demands productive engagement with reality, supporting our existence by translating thoughts and intentions into concrete actions and tangible results. This involves setting meaningful goals across various life domains, career, relationships, personal growth, and contribution to society. The goals we set reveal profound truths about our self-concept, reflecting both what we believe is possible for ourselves and what we deem appropriate or worthy of pursuit. These choices become mirrors of our deepest values and beliefs about our potential. This practice requires sophisticated self-discipline, organizing behavior over time in service of specific tasks while maintaining flexibility to adapt as circumstances change. It means developing the capacity to defer immediate gratification for more meaningful remote goals, carefully projecting consequences into the future and maintaining focus despite distractions or setbacks. Neither individuals nor businesses can function effectively without this practice, as it forms the backbone of all sustained achievement. Living purposefully encompasses four essential practices that must be consistently maintained. First, consciously formulating clear, specific goals and purposes that align with our values and capabilities. Second, methodically identifying and planning the necessary actions required to achieve those goals, breaking them down into manageable steps. Third, regularly monitoring behavior to ensure alignment with stated goals, making course corrections when needed. Fourth, paying careful attention to outcomes to determine if actions are producing desired results, being willing to adjust strategies based on feedback. Consider these illustrative cases and demonstrate common purposeful living challenges. Jack, an aspiring writer who perpetually dreams of literary success but never actually writes, instead spending countless hours daydreaming about fame while avoiding the necessary work of crafting stories. Mary, a talented advertising executive who gradually abandons her core responsibilities to become the unofficial office therapist, eventually losing her position because she failed to maintain focus on her primary purpose in the organization. Mark, a well-meaning father who repeatedly lectures his teenage son about self-respect and responsibility, yet fails to notice that his approach is creating resistance and resentment, unlike in his business life where he readily adjusts strategies based on measurable results. Success in living purposefully belongs to those who take responsibility for thinking through these steps and maintaining conscious awareness of their choices and their consequences. It requires regular self-assessment, willingness to face uncomfortable truths, and the courage to make necessary changes when current approaches aren't working. Personal integrity, the sixth pillar, represents the fundamental integration of our ideals, convictions, standards, beliefs, and behavior. When our actions consistently align with our professed values, we demonstrate integrity. This alignment creates a powerful foundation for authentic self-esteem. When we act in accordance with our deepest understanding of what's right, we naturally respect ourselves. Conversely, when we behave contrary to our own judgment, we inevitably erode our self-respect. Integrity manifests as congruence between words and actions. We instinctively trust individuals whose behavior matches their stated principles, while we remain wary of those who display inconsistency between what they say and what they do. In organizational contexts, this principle becomes especially crucial. Employees develop trust in leaders who demonstrate integrity through specific actions, keeping their promises, honoring commitments, defending team members against unfair criticism, practicing consistent fairness in decisions, and, most importantly, embodying the values they advocate. The self-inflicted damage from betraying our own standards proves far more devastating than any external criticism. Such self-betrayal represents a unique form of self-invalidation, the mind essentially rejecting its own judgment. Many attempt to rationalize ethical compromises with the notion that only I will know, failing to recognize that our own judgment carries the greatest weight in matters of self-esteem. In the private courtroom of our consciousness, we serve as both judge and jury, and our verdict on our own actions fundamentally shapes our sense of worth. Maintaining personal integrity becomes particularly challenging in contemporary society, where moral standards often seem to erode. Today's environment presents unique obstacles: widespread corruption among public figures, constant exposure to global atrocities through media, and entertainment that frequently glorifies moral bankruptcy and violence. This cultural context can make the pursuit of personal integrity feel like a solitary journey, a form of quiet heroism in a world that sometimes seems indifferent to moral excellence. The relationship between integrity and self-esteem exemplifies what Brandon terms reciprocal causation. The behaviors that build genuine self-esteem simultaneously express it, creating a powerful positive feedback loop. For instance, living consciously strengthens our trust in our mental capabilities and deepens our sense of self-worth, which in turn makes conscious living feel more natural and necessary. This principle applies across all six pillars of self-esteem. The development of integrity, like physical fitness, follows a progressive path. We begin at our current level of moral strength and gradually build greater capacity through consistent practice. Over time, these virtuous behaviors become not just habits, but necessities, essential components of how we understand and express ourselves. The regular practice of integrity, though challenging, creates an internal standard that becomes increasingly natural to maintain. The ultimate goal of parenting is preparing a child for independent survival as an adult. This journey transforms a completely dependent newborn into a self-respecting, self-responsible human being capable of responding competently to life's challenges. This transformation requires careful attention to both emotional and practical development, creating an environment where children can safely explore, fail, learn, and grow. Research consistently identifies five essential conditions associated with high self-esteem in children. 1. Total acceptance of thoughts, feelings, and personhood, allowing children to express themselves authentically without fear of rejection. 2. Clearly defined fair limits, providing security and high standards, establishing boundaries that make children feel safe while encouraging growth. 3. Respect for the child's dignity without violence or humiliation, treating children as valuable human beings deserving of consideration. 4. High standards and expectations conveyed respectfully, believing in children's capabilities while supporting their efforts. And 5. Parents who themselves enjoy high self-esteem, modeling self-efficacy and self-respect through their own behavior and choices. A child's most fundamental need is safety and security, encompassing both physical and emotional well-being. This includes consistent satisfaction of physiological needs, protection from harm, and nurturing in an environment where they feel genuinely safe and valued. When this foundation is secure, children naturally begin the process of separation and individuation, developing trust in others and confidence that the world is fundamentally safe rather than threatening. This security becomes the bedrock upon which all future development builds. Physical touch plays a crucial role in healthy development, serving multiple essential functions. It provides necessary sensory stimulation for brain development, helps regulate emotional states, and powerfully conveys love, caring, and nurturing. Research shows that children who receive adequate physical affection develop stronger immune systems, better stress responses, and more secure attachment patterns. Conversely, children deprived of touch often carry a deep emotional wound throughout life, experiencing a persistent void in their self-regard and questioning their fundamental lovability. Children treated with consistent, unconditional love internalize that experience and come to view themselves as inherently lovable. Effective parents demonstrate this love through multiple channels: verbal expression, nurturing actions, attentive listening, and visible joy in the child's existence. Crucially, love must not be contingent on performance or meeting parental expectations. When it is, children learn that their worth depends on external validation. Unfortunately, many children receive subtle or explicit messages that they're not enough, that they're fundamentally unacceptable as they are, need fixing, or will only be worthy when fulfilling others' expectations. Unfortunately, many children receive subtle or explicit messages that they're not enough, that they're fundamentally unacceptable as they are, need fixing, or will only be worthy when fulfilling others' expectations. Parents' responses to children's mistakes profoundly shape self-esteem development. Making mistakes is an integral part of the learning process. Consider how a child learns to walk through countless falls and missteps. When children face criticism, ridicule, or impatient intervention for their mistakes, they learn to prioritize avoiding failure over mastering challenges. This can lead to risk aversion and perfectionism that persist into adulthood. Conversely, when given space to learn from their mistakes in a supportive environment, children develop resilience, problem-solving skills, and confidence in their ability to overcome obstacles. Children treated with consistent, unconditional love internalize that experience and come to view themselves as inherently lovable. Effective parents demonstrate this love through multiple channels: verbal expression, nurturing actions, attentive listening, and visible joy in the child's existence. Crucially, love must not be contingent on performance or meeting parental expectations. When it is, children learn that their worth depends on external validation. Unfortunately, many children receive subtle or explicit messages that they're not enough, that they're fundamentally unacceptable as they are, need fixing, or will only be worthy when fulfilling others' expectations. Parents' responses to children's mistakes profoundly shape self-esteem development. Making mistakes is an integral part of the learning process. Consider how a child learns to walk through countless falls and missteps. When children face criticism, ridicule, or impatient intervention for their mistakes, they learn to prioritize avoiding failure over mastering challenges. This can lead to risk aversion and perfectionism that persist into adulthood. Conversely, when given space to learn from their mistakes in a supportive environment, children develop resilience, problem-solving skills, and confidence in their ability to overcome obstacles. The need for self-esteem is a summons to the hero within us, requiring willingness to live the six practices when doing so isn't easy. We may need to overcome inertia, face fears, confront pain, or stand alone in loyalty to our judgment. No matter how nurturing our environment, rationality, self-responsibility, and integrity are never automatic, but always represent achievements through conscious choice. The first enemy of self-esteem is laziness, the disinclination to generate appropriate effort, the failure to challenge inertia. The second is the impulse to avoid discomfort. Each pillar may require confronting fears, unresolved pain, or disturbing thoughts. While high self-esteem people are ultimately happier, building self-esteem requires willingness to endure short-term discomfort for spiritual growth. When avoiding discomfort becomes our priority, we abandon the six practices precisely when we need them most. This creates a destructive pattern. We avoid looking at painful realities, which creates more problems we also avoid examining. Layer upon layer of avoidance and disowned pain accumulates, the condition of most adults. The reversal begins when we decide our self-esteem matters more than short-term comfort. Taking small steps toward consciousness and self-acceptance, we notice improved self-regard, which inspires further growth. With each step, we become stronger, more truthful, and more resourceful. Neither struggle nor pain has intrinsic value and should be avoided when possible without harmful consequences. One approach is helping people see that doing what's difficult but necessary need not be catastrophized. We can accept fear and discomfort as part of life, face them as best we can, and keep moving toward our best possibilities. But always, will is needed, perseverance is needed, courage is needed. The energy for this commitment comes only from the love we have for our own life, the beginning of virtue, the launching pad for our highest aspirations, the motive power driving the six pillars, and what Brandon ultimately identifies as the seventh pillar of self-esteem.